Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the cast of Carousel at Arena Stage from October 28th through December 24th. Introduce yourself, guys.
Hi, my name is Betsy Morgan, and I'm going to be playing Julie Jordan.
Hey, I'm Nicholas Rodriguez, and I'm playing Billy.
Awesome. So, guys, Carousel, obviously, it's well known, but it wasn't their first one. I believe their first musical was Oklahoma, right? Out of the box.
First big hit.
And then this followed up. But I believe I read somewhere that this was actually their personal favorite. Why do you think that might be?
Well, I think that Carousel, even, I mean, I didn't speak to them personally, but
are you sure?
I can, no. But I think that what they did with Carousel was they took a story that is, even for the time then and also today, is a little bit on the more realistic side, and it deals with topics that are not necessarily that weren't commonly spoken about at the time. And I think what they did was they took this beautiful story and they wrote this incredible music. And I think part of the reason why it was the favorite was because the music was so extraordinary. And it's just this piece that rings so true for so many people in a way that I don't think was talked about so much.
And I think also too, from what I've read and people I've talked to, they were following up this huge hit of Oklahoma that was a phenomenal success and groundbreaking in its own way. And this was coming up with a lot of strife out of town. And at one point, Richard Rodgers just said, "We're proud of the work that we've done." So it wasn't for them comparing it to anything else. It was just where they were at and what they had done at the time. So I think that's pretty cool for us as artists to remember that we don't have to always top our previous successes. It's about being proud of the work we're doing right now.
Right. You can just ride the wave sometimes
totally,
from the previous
totally.
One. Yeah. Awesome. Before we get too far in, because we all know what this is about, but let's say some of our awesome Facebook Live folks and our listeners on WTOP have heard of the title but don't know anything about the story. Someone give the quick rundown of the plot.
Well, it's the classic boy meets girl story with a twist. So we have the boy meets girl, and then we see what happens to them in the future, and then what happens even later down the line when they have children. And it deals a lot with redemption and about hope. And, you know, even if two people are truly in love, there can be problems along the way. And how do you fix that and how do you redeem it and move it forward? It deals with the afterlife and do you believe in that and what happens when we pass on and are we good enough to get in up there or, you know. Do we have to stay down below?
Yeah. Or do we stay down where the wind goes sweeping by the plane?
Exactly.
Or that.
So that's purgatory, I guess.
Yeah.
Awesome. I know a lot of us have seen or at least heard of the 50s film, Shirley Jones. Did you guys, did you see it as a kid or do you remember when you first discovered it?
I've actually never seen Carousel in any capacity. I've never seen the film. I've never seen it on stage.
You're not even starring in the play now.
And I still won't see it. I hope lots of other people do. But
yeah.
No, my very first show that I ever did ever was a production of Carousel that happened at the high school. And I was one of the snow children. I was maybe 8 or 9. And I have little memory of it, but remembered the show quite well. But I've never seen any... The only... thing that I've seen is the source material. So I've read the play Lilium and obviously the score and the script.
Do you think that helps you keep it fresh though? You don't have any other preconceived, you know, you're not comparing yourself off of some stage act.
It's interesting that you say that is because when I went in for the show, the director Molly Smith said to me, she said, "You don't have a history with this, do you?" She said that I came in and it was different from what she had seen in the past. And it wasn't on purpose necessarily, but yeah, I had no reference point. All I knew was what I was reading on the page and my reaction to that.
Molly probably liked that, though. It's
oh,
fresh,
yes.
And you get to sculpt it in a new way. It's not some baked-in preconceived thing. I like it.
I hope so.
How about you, Nick? Did you see the movie?
I did. Yeah, I mean, I remember watching the movie, gosh, as a kid and then in high school. I mean, I was always a fan of these big movie musicals growing up. And it's interesting, like, rewatching it as an adult, you know, and just seeing how different it is. And once I, like Betsy, read the source material, the Lilium, and worked on this script as well, how Rodgers and Hammerstein chose to rewrite certain things for the current Hollywood audiences. So there's certain things that if people only know the movie, it's very different in the play. And sometimes...
So give me some examples.
Well, for instance, there's a big death scene. Spoiler alert, there's a big death scene that happens. That the circumstances of the death are very different in the play than they are in the movie, because they didn't think, I forget the studio, you would probably know, you're the movie expert, that, but they just said this won't go over with mainstream audiences, the way in which he dies. So they had to change it for the film to make it more palatable and more redeemable. So people that only know the film will see one version, and this is, we're doing the original, how it was done on stage, so.
Awesome.
So just little differences like that.
Definitely. And Betsy, you mentioned a few seconds ago that it dealt with a lot of themes that maybe hadn't been grappled with at the time. You mentioned afterlife and such, but you know, go into what exactly what you meant by that.
Well, I think even today we put the idea of relationships and marriage up on this unrealistic pedestal. And it doesn't matter how much in love you are, there are problems and it's not easy. And
there are ups and downs.
There are ups
as you go
and
downs.
Yeah. And I think that especially when this was produced, there was only a very picturesque ideal of what marriage was.
Ozzie and Harriet, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, right, right.
And this show is not that. It's these two people who are clearly very much in love, are very much attracted to one another, and yet we see the ways in which they're different and how that challenges them.
Take me into your characters, just one at a time.
Well, Julie, for my Julie,
yeah.
she's incredibly strong and she's intelligent in a way that she keeps, she's smart enough to know when to speak and when to keep things to herself. They say in the show that she's quieter and deeper than a well. And that is so, I hold that with me through the entire show. I think she feels things very deeply, but she is determined to make what she believes in and cares for work. And that plays out in this show, not only with Billy, her husband, but also with her daughter, Louise.
I like that. What is it, quieter and deeper than a well? That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
But so if you hear echoes on stage, that's probably what. Tell me, take me into the hubby.
You know, I think it's interesting because he's one of these iconic figures in theater and film. And everybody always says he's the classic bad boy. And I think that's the veneer. You know, I think that's what's on the outside. And Billy's one of these braggadocious showmen. You know, he runs the carousel. He's the barker. And I think that's the outside. And I think the quieter and deeper than a well applies to him, too. I mean, I think it's who he is at his core. He's the first person to tell you that he can get anything he wants and he deserves it all. But I think at his core, the internal struggle is that he doesn't really believe it. So then when he meets Julie, something as simple as being in love, he can get all the girls he wants. But he didn't know that he could have all of the feelings, too. So I think that's something that what he's really struggling with is that, like, oh, I have all this confidence in the world, but the one thing that I should have the most confidence about, he has none. So it's interesting watching him struggle with that. And once he gets it, what does he do with it?
Right.
You know, and how to make that work.
Awesome. Yeah. And of course, this manifests itself outwardly in song.
Yeah.
It's a musical, of course.
Yeah.
And one of the more famous ones. So I know the big number is If I Loved You. What makes that song so great?
Well, what makes it great is that it's not a song. It is this extensive scene that goes on for, 20-something pages?
Yeah.
It is an incredibly long scene that has all the parts of the song woven into it. And it is one of the most brilliant pieces of writing that I've ever had the pleasure to perform on stage, because it is so perfectly interwoven. And is kind of what you were just talking about with who Billy is, you get to see them both discover each other and discover themselves as well. And at the end of the scene, essentially, is when Billy sings his portion of If I Loved You. And you see somebody toying with what could be in a way that is just completely gorgeous.
Awesome.
And it's really cool, too, because it's one of those songs, you know, from back in the day that have crossed over. You know, it's been a jazz standard. It's been a pop standard. It's been recorded.
So many
just the tune proper.
It, yeah.
But then once people see it in context of the show, you're able to see it through a different lens and really focus. What Betsy and I are focusing on right now is the if part of the If I Loved You. You know, so it's very interesting that so often we hear it in the pop lexicon and it's the love part right. of it. And then it's so when you see it in the play, it's very interesting, you know. So
there are a lot of songs that say I love you, I love you, I love you, but this song is saying I don't. But yeah. if I did,
yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's fantastic. So look for that when you go to Arena Stage for sure. Listen for the if.
The if.
Okay, so if that one is the popular one, what is there like a little hidden gem that each of you guys look forward to every night, music wise?
When the children are asleep.
Really?
I love it.
Why?
I just think it's beautiful. It's this little song that Mr. and Mrs. Snow sing, and it talks about the quiet time when the children go to sleep, and to see these are the two people who are playing the part, Kurt Boehm and Kate Rockwell. They're just so charming together, and you see them dreaming up this life in their future. And I just find it so charming. Yeah. What's your hidden gem?
Well, it's interesting because it's more so, I've always had a favorite, and it's not the ones that people, like June is Busting Out All Over is a big hit. You know,
You'll Never Walk Alone.
You'll Never Walk Alone, of course. And I get to do this soliloquy in the first act, which is one of my favorite things that I've done in my whole life. But my all-time favorite song in the show is What's the Use of Wondering?
Oh, I sing that.
That yeah, she sings. And actually, I haven't heard her do it yet, so I can't wait. But it's just, I've always loved the theme of it and the simplicity of it. And, you know, like going back to that character of being quiet and deep, it's something that I can relate to, you know. So it's one of my favorites. It's just simple, pure, innocent, and raw. It's great.
It's a gorgeous song.
What's the key word in that? Is it wondering or is it what's or what? So that's some of your favorite songs, the hidden gems and otherwise. But take me into choreographing that into dance numbers.
Well, I think it's pretty interesting because the Fitch Handler being in the round, you know, you would think it would be limiting, but it actually frees it up big time. And I get to work with Parker Essie again, who choreographed Oklahoma and has done some amazing things. And he's just doing beautiful work with the movement, not just the big ballet, but how the whole world moves. And this production in particular, Paul Sportelli is our music director. He's gotten permission from the Rodgers and Hammerstein Estate to do a brand new orchestration for 12 instruments. So it's honoring everything that's there before, but this is a wholly new piece that's being put together.
It's funny. It frees you up if you have the creativity, and both of these men have really taken what they're doing to a whole nother level. So what the things that I'm watching Parker do and Sky Maddox, who plays Louise, and she's the central part of the ballet, it's really incredible and completely beautiful to see the stuff that he dreamed up and put on the stage. It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, take me visually. What are we going to see? Like, you know, costume wise, staging wise.
Well, one of the things that Molly has done and our set designer has done with this piece is kept it very simple. So what they're doing is creating a world that really lets the show speak for itself. So you're going to see, how would you describe the overhang of the set?
Well, it's interesting because she says simple, and I was going to go the opposite direction because it is simple. I mean, the idea is that it's simple, it's bare, but it's the largest set that I've ever seen it in the Fitch Handler. It's multi-layered. So this idea of playing with, you know, a heaven and a hell and on earth. And Molly's concept is that in any given day, we're in any of those places. You know, we have very few.
Forth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, so it's expansive in that it's so huge. And we have the ability to have the orchestra on stage with us, which is amazing. So there's all of these levels and we're playing the entire space. But within that, the simplicity is that there's not a lot of furniture. There's not a lot of moving parts. We keep it simple within this architecture, and then we have these lavish costumes that are being designed for us and built for us. So
that's so cool. That's
it's awesome. Rich in that regard.
Right.
Complex simplicity.
Yeah.
That
Take
is the
me into Molly. What's her genius working with her?
Well, I just started. Do you want to go first?
No, you go first because you just started.
Oh. Well,
I've been wanting to work with Molly for 15 years now. I have been wanting to work with her since I read an article in some magazine about her years ago. And immediately I thought to myself, this is a woman that I want to be in a room with. And there's, I feel like not only does she approach women in a way that I relate to and want to get as much as I can from her, in that respect, but also she has this amazing ability to create community. So we spent our first week of rehearsals exploring the ins and outs of the show. And a lot of times when you do, we call it table work like that, you do it with the people in a scene. And it's very focused on whomever's in the scene at that moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she does table work with everyone involved. So what happened after that first week is we created this community. And I knew that Jessica Wu's name in the show was May. And I knew that this person is learning how to read. And it creates a level to the town that we are living in that is completely unique and specific. And it just makes it, especially in a theater like the Fitch Andler, where you see everybody, nobody can hide. If you want to look at this person for the entire show, they are going to have something interesting going on. And she's just so specific and smart.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. How about the arena experience guy here? Well, you've done Oklahoma, what, My Fair Lady?
My Fair Lady.
Light in the Piazza.
Mother Courage. Yeah. So we've worked together a couple times. And we've become really good friends over the years. And I think for me, tackling a dream role like this with somebody, it's really crucial for me to have somebody that I trust, you know, and knows me inside and out, so she can call me on everything. She knows my tricks, and she knows when I'm sitting back and when I need to ride forward. And this play is very vulnerable, I mean, for both of us. So to be able to play, which most people wouldn't associate with being the bad boy, but it is, you know, so you need somebody that you really trust to take you out of your comfort zone. And she's one of the most in control, thoughtful people that I've ever worked with, but she's also one of the most collaborative people, and that goes across the disciplines. So not just in our table work with the principals and the ensemble, but everything down to you see how it filters down into the design work with the costume designers and the amazing wardrobe shop, costume shop, that they actually ask for your input and they say, well, how does this feel? And is this what you think your character would be wearing? And she encourages that collaboration down to everything, to the props that you're using, to the hook that you're going to hang your coat on the set. Is that hung where you would want it to be? So it's amazing to have that level of trust. And ever since I started working with her 6 or 7 years ago, she said something that's really important to me. It's, why are we doing this play now? She always tries to find the need, the impetus to do it, you know,
in
now.
2016,
exactly.
What's Carousel to this audience?
Especially when you call it, you know, a golden age musical or a standard chestnut of the American theater. You know, you have to look at it, you know, a 1945 musical through a 2016 audience. And as Betsy was saying earlier, marriage is hard, you know, and that hasn't changed from, you know, 1945 to when it was written to 1900 when it's set. So it's really interesting to have somebody that's so focused on that current perspective without making it a current play.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Take me into, I want to know about you guys. How did you, we mentioned all of his arena stage shows, but you, Betsy, have quite the reel as well, if you want, or the credits, I guess.
Oh, thanks.
Broadway, The King and I, Les Mis, Little Mermaid, fond memories of those productions?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the Broadway shows. I think of myself as a downtown actress, so you know, when people first ask me about my experiences, the first ones that come to mind are working at the Public Theater and working at the Atlantic. And even some of the new works that I've done out of town, I work with Michael John Lacusa a lot. And we've created, I think, 4 new musicals together at this point. And I am lucky that I get to kind of dip into all different kinds of musical theater, from Rodgers and Hammerstein with both King and I and Carousel, and then to work on something like Rain or Giant with Michael John Lacusa. It's kind of amazing.
And take it back even before the Broadway, Uptown or Downtown days.
Yeah.
You'd mentioned that you played Carousel back in high school. So, you know, set the scene.
Well, I wasn't in high school.
I was.
The high school did it. I was a kid.
You were a kid. Okay.
Yeah, I was
one of the scene.
Children.
Where was this? I want to know where you guys grew up and how you got into this.
Yeah, so I grew up in the northern suburbs of Chicago. And the high school that I did end up going to, and I ended up doing their theater productions, they were doing a production of Carousel. And I think there might have been an ad in the paper or something like that. And I went.
The paper? What's that in 2016?
The paper. Yeah. It was in the Winnetka Talk. And I did that production and kind of knew that I wanted to do that from that moment on. And I did a bunch of community theater, and then I started working professionally in the city, which actually, it was only maybe a couple years later when I was maybe 10, is when I first met Ife Butler.
Ah.
So she's known me since I was very little.
Wow.
And I just adore her, and I'm really happy to be back on the same stage as her.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And how about you, sir? Where did you grow up, and how did you get into acting?
I grew up in Austin, Texas, and I started doing shows in high school, actually. I just joined the theater in my high school and just got bit by the bug really fast. And I think it was probably like when I was 17, I was a little bit older, but I did my first show out in the community and started realizing, oh, this could be a thing, you know? So, and then switch gears a little bit. I went to school for music, but still did theater in the community and around school and stuff. And always knew that was going to be the end goal. So,
well, look at this thing that it became.
I know.
You guys are at Arena Stage. Yeah. This is so cool. You know, before we go, because I know Kelly's arms got to be getting tired. Fourth wall breaks, baby.
She's wearing her national shirt, though. It gives her strength.
Yeah. Go Nats. Just take us out. What's the final reason we should come? I mean, we've heard this interview. Our listeners are like, that sounds cool. What gets them there? What's the final sell?
Well, the final sell for me, you know, it's so interesting. I am just so loving being in the process, and Betsy and I, we just met a couple of weeks ago, so it's so funny to be in a show with these friends that I've known for years and years and years, and to just feel like such a kindred spirit, and I just feel like this energy is what's going to carry me through the whole thing, and I hope that audiences get to enjoy it the way I get to enjoy it with her every night, so that's for me.
Yeah, and it's also, I mean, it is a classic piece of musical theater, and you're going to see it in a way that's hopefully new and exciting, and anytime you put something in the round, it's going to change the dynamic of every single person on stage and how the audience relates to them. And so, you know, come out if you love it, because you're going to see hopefully a beautiful interpretation of what you already love, or come out if you don't know it, because it is this essential part of the musical theater canon that people should be able to see up on stage. It's just gorgeous.
Awesome. Well, yeah. We can't wait to see it. Again, it's Carousel at Arena Stage from October 28th through December 24th. So you have a while to go. You can even go a couple times in that stretch, right? guys, thanks so much. Betsy Morgan, Nick Rodriguez, thanks for this deep as a well combo.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carousel.